Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Nima. Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray at rte.ie. We had a wonderful, if a little bit disappointing, morning. We went down to Irish Town Stadium. I don't know if you heard Michael Larkin in with us last week. He was in with Shay, telling us about his niece, who is Abby Larkin, and they recorded a song called Ringsend Abbey in honour of Abby Larkin, who's the youngest member of the squad, the women's squad. And she came on in the just after half time, well, about 15 minutes into the second half in today's game against Australia. And she really made a difference. Anyway, Michael, who was responsible for organising balcony bingo and balcony karaoke and other sorts of balcony things during COVID, decided he was going to organise an event in the Irish Town Stadium today for friends, family and supporters of his niece, Abby. So he went about it with gusto, as Michael always does. And he got two big screens. Tommy and Shay came up from Mullingar with their two huge screens, 25 square metres, the biggest one was. And we all gathered down there and it was just wonderful. It was just, I just went around with a smile on my face all morning. And even when it looked like we were going to lose, and we tried and did our best, and we'd be talking to Stephanie Roach about the team's efforts in the second half and how they nearly got a one-all draw. We'd be talking about that with Stephanie later on. But I met loads of people down there, and Michael would have said that he's from a family of 13. He has 8 sisters and 4 brothers originally. I think one of them has died. First of all, I met Susan. Susan is the eldest of the Larkins, and she'd be Abby Larkin's eldest auntie. Are you with me? Right. So I met Susan.
If you only saw the place, it's electrifying. My brother and his wife went over to Australia, and our plane was cancelled, but they got over there and they got to meet brother in Australia, Martin. Michael is the youngest, and I don't know his age. Jesus. I'm the eldest, and I'm 70. I keep going.
You keep going. Susan does. And you'll see this on the news this evening, because there's great pictures. Loads of children, loads of bunting, loads of flags. And there were special flags for the Larkins.
I'm Pauline Blount. I'm Abby's auntie. And these were all donated. So all the flags are donated for the Larkin family and the Amber family on both sides. And then there's free flags for everyone. We're just getting these all sorted out. It's a great day, and God, everything's doing great. The flag is Flagman support Abby Larkin and the girls in green. Woohoo!
Woohoo! And I met Abby's godparents.
I'm Mary Jane Gannon. I'm Abby's godmother.
I'm Pat Larkin. I'm Abby's godfather. It's unbelievable. We have 2 giant screens sponsored by Google, and we have hundreds and hundreds of people getting their towels ready down like they're going to the beach. It's just people getting ready, sitting on wet grass, but they're bringing their own towels, and we're building up for this very exciting thing now that's going to happen for Ringsend and the Larkin family. Yeah. This was all organised by Michael, our cousin. He was on your show. He did balcony bingo, so he's the number one organiser. His wife told me that he was awake all night last week thinking of ideas. I have another idea, and we're all going, oh, here we go. So yeah, it's very exciting down here today.
They were a great double act, were Mary Jane and Pat.
Abby is amazing. We're super proud, aren't we?
I taught her everything she knows about football.
He always says that.
Everything.
He never kicked a ball.
From the age of 2, I was training her.
No, the setup is amazing. All the cages down in the centre have different groups in them. I'm the secretary of the neurodiversity group in the area. It's called NERP. And we have a cage down, number 5, all air sensory equipment. So it's a quieter area. So it's really inclusive to everyone in the area. And it's amazing. It's just amazing that the whole community is coming together for Abby. That's the main thing. We're super proud.
Super proud. And Pat was so proud that he put together a sort of This Is Your Life for his niece, which was shown on the big screen at half time.
I made a video of Abby's life, and it'll be shown at half time here.
Brilliant.
And all the Larkins are in it, and the song is called Abby's Army. We're all part of Abby's Army. We're all of the city. And we're going to shake them up when we win the World Cup. Cause Ireland are the greatest football team. Come on!
Up Abby, yeah. Just such a wonderful atmosphere. And during halftime as well, after that video, sort of This Is Your Life of Abby, The lovely clip for when she was 16 at a press conference asking Roy Keane a question, and he was giving her advice. You must get the audio from that. But at halftime as well, there was Irish dancers, and then all of Abby's aunties who were present got up and Irish danced as well. So that's the nature of it. But the other thing which struck me was the number of young girls there in strips. I realised that in the last 5-10 years, the situation for girls, young girls, playing sport of any description has changed beyond recognition. Like when you think about the numbers at Croke Park watching All-Ireland finals. And of course, now we have a women's team in the World Cup. And I met three people who knew Abby for years. There was Robin, and then there was Mary, and then there was another Abby. And they were talking about women in sport, girls in sport, and of course, Abby as well. Oops. I'll do that again. Here we go. There.
I went to school with Abby since I was 4. I grew up with Abby. She's a fantastic person on the pitch, off the pitch. She's so humble. She's such a nice girl. But she deserves everything. Everything that she's got, she's deserved. Absolutely. She's worked for.
It's fantastic. It's giving goosebumps even thinking about it. It's fantastic. For the younger girls coming through, opens their eyes to such a bigger picture. Like for now, when I was growing up, it was always like, the boys. It was only since them. Yeah. Like I remember 2002 with the lads. They weren't even born. Like, but to now think that it's girls now in it, it's unbelievable. And the younger girls we have here, that's what they can be. That's what they want to achieve. And we pushed them all the way for it. Like,
it's great. It's happening in front of our eyes. And Robin and Mary and Abby had more to say.
She's fantastic. Since she started here, she always shone. Like, she was being with the boys playing. We couldn't put her in the girls. And then we'd be doing skills day and stuff like that. She'd be winning the skills day and beating the boys. And even when she got too old, she came back down volunteering with us and helping us out. And then became a coach, Friday football coach. And even till now, she's still coming down and supporting the girls. After she goes to America and all, she was back down with her jersey, showing the girls, talking to the girls, questions and answer with them. She's a fantastic role model for them.
Yeah, star of the future there, Abby Larkin, the pride of Ringsend and Irish Town. And as I say, we'll be talking to Stephanie Roach about the game in about 10 minutes' time. Now, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, Taylor Swift tickets. I remember when they announced the hoops that Taylor Swift fans had to jump through to get their tickets that I played the theme tune from Mission Impossible. Well, today is the day. After signing up and going on a list and going on a shorter list and breaking a code and singing a song, eventually people were offered tickets today. I'm just looking at the prices. So she's in the Aviva Stadium for three concerts next year. So that's 150-odd thousand people will go to see her. 500,000 registered for the sale, so that's 500,000. So the general admission is 126 euro. You can do the maths on this. Front standing left ticket, 206. Seated ticket, 86 to 206. Now, there are packages, and this is where it gets interesting and a little bit vulgar for my liking. And like, you know, she doesn't need the money. Taylor Swift does not need the money, lads. But yes, ready for a package. Ready for a package includes general admission, pitch ticket, early entry and first access to your section, special set of 4 Taylor Swift prints, exclusive Taylor Swift VIP merchandise, right? That'll cost you €498.94. That's €1.06 off €500. Okay, there you go, you have that. I remember it all too well package. You will when you get the bill, €573.40. So you get reserved seated tickets, a special set of 4 Taylor Swift prints, exclusive, well, they're not that exclusive, everyone got exclusive Taylor Swift VIP merchandise, commemorative Taylor Swift The Eras Tour VIP tote bag, collectible Taylor Swift pin, sticker and postcard set, and souvenir concert ticket and special VIP tour laminate and matching lanyard. €573.40. See, what I understand is happening, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that these are been offered to people. So if you're a parent and you were in the list and you did all the things and jumped through the hoops and sorted the code and sang the song and all that, that you could be offered one of those. And of course, who can afford 573? And then you might have 2 children and you're going to have to say no. And then you have to explain to them that I had to say no because it was, you know, over 1,000 for the 2 of us. And then Karma Is My Boyfriend. Oh, yeah. Interestingly, that the word karma is in that. 743.62. Yeah. It's a package, of course. Not just the ticket. It's a package. That's why it's so expensive. It includes reserved seated floor tickets, special set of four Taylor Swift prints, exclusive Taylor Swift VIP priority check-in and separate VIP entrance, early venue entry and crowd-free VIP merchandise shopping opportunity, exclusive Taylor Swift merchandise, commemorative Taylor Swift The Year Is Tour VIP tote bag, collectible Taylor Swift pin, sticker and postcard set, souvenir concert ticket and special VIP tour laminate and interactive wearable at the show. 743.62. I think that's vulgar myself. I know she has big fans, but the way she talks about her fans and then to be charging them that amount of money doesn't ring true for me. But maybe it's not her. Maybe it's not her. Maybe it's the promoters. Maybe it's somebody else who's deciding this. And I wonder, does Taylor Swift know that some of her fans have been charged 743.62? Does she? I don't know. Anyway, on tickets, I see Gemma Hayes has just posted a thing on Twitter. Just found this while clearing out my room. This was to be my first ever concert. I had my bags packed a week prior just to be sure I was ready to go. And it was the ill-fated Nirvana gig in the RDS, the 8th of April, 1994. 1675 compared to 743.62. That's how things have changed over the years. Anyway, of course, the death of Kurt Cobain was announced on the 5th of April or thereabouts, and that concert never happened. And Gemma has that ticket, which is, I don't know if it's worth money, as a sort of a bit of memorabilia. More news, and you're going to be sick of it by the time it comes out on Sunday. More Barbie news today. The Palace or Palace Cinema in Galway is offering a special dog-friendly screening of the new Barbie film for moviegoers and their canine companions. There will be reduced noise levels, adjusted light levels, and even some tasty treats for your pooch. That's dog-friendly screenings of Barbie. Still on pets, cat of the year, Zebby the cat. This is a brilliant story. So a cat has become invaluable to their deaf owner by hearing. So Genevieve Moss owns little Zebby, and Genevieve is deaf. But when the phone rings, little Zebby paces in front of her to let her know that there's something going on. Little Zebby even brings the post and slippers to Genevieve, who lives on her own in Derbyshire. She said, Zebby around, she doesn't feel lonely and can't imagine life without him. Without my hearing aid, I can't hear anything, but now I have Zebby to help me. He'll come and tap me when the phone's ringing, and then I can pop my hearing aid in, speaker on, and take the call. So there you go, that's Zebby. Cat of the year! So it's hard of hearing as opposed to deaf, is Genevieve. Well done to Zebby. A larger cat is in the news in Germany. A lion on the loose. German authorities are searching for a suspected lioness believed to be on the prowl around the outskirts of Berlin. Scary prospect. Two locals reportedly saw the animal chase a boar before calling the police to report its presence. So the boar didn't call the people who saw a warning was issued this morning to people in Berlin's southwestern suburbs to keep their pets indoors, not to go for walks in the woods, and to seek shelter in their houses or cars if they see the animal. Helicopters and drones are being used to avoid the usual search method of combing forest areas on foot. And there's some I see there online, they're debating whether it is actually a lion. Could it be a large dog? Well, I'll just do what I'm told. I'll stay in. I'm not running the risk of finding out that actually, it was a lion, not a dog. Yeah. Now, 51551 ray at rte.ie. I don't think I have a song lined up there after all that. I have one song there, but I don't know if it's the one I want to play. Anyway, famously doomed actor Sean Bean. I love these statistics about actors. Sean, you know Sean Bean. Yeah, he's been in loads of things. Patriot Games, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring and Game of Thrones. Great actor, 64. I saw him in a prison drama there a couple of years ago and he was brilliant in it. Anyway, Sean Bean has been killed on screen 25 times. I'm not going to tell you about the most recent one because it's spoiler alert, but he's been killed 25 times, which sounds like a lot. He's 64. 40-year career, killed off 25 times. But he's nowhere near the record holder. The late Christopher Lee died 70 times on screen. And fellow late actors Dennis Hopper and Vincent Price was in the same mold as Christopher Lee, wasn't he, Vincent Price? They tied for second and they were killed off 48 times. I don't know if it's a record that anybody would be proud of there. Anyway, 5151 radio.ie. Abby's cousin Daniel Kelly will be in action in the Euro game for Dundalk tonight in Oriel Park. Ah, so it's in the genes. That's Tom. I'm a parent and I'd have no problem refusing my child that price ticket, says Sheila. Re-ticket prices, WTF. Who pays this? Is there a cost of living crisis or not? Ask that question. And we need a nickname like the Matildas or the Lionesses. How about the Irish Wolfhounds? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. No, no, no. I have Aisling and Grace and Emily, and they're all saying no, Irish Wolfhounds. But I tell you what, let's work on it today. Let's work on it today. So the Australian team are called the Matildas. The English team are called the Lionesses. What should we call the girls in green, other than the girls in green? Here's a question for you. 51551 ray@rte.ie. In the news today, Coldplay, 2 Crow Park concerts next August. So there you go. Now, names for our women's football team. How about the Kathleens? How about the Colleens? Because I was thinking just the girls, but the Colleens, yeah, that's Kieran and Swords. The girls in green should be called the Bridgets, says Geraldine. Has to be the Mollies, as in Molly Malone, is it? Yeah. The Banshees. The Bridgets, for the girls. The Fias, as in the Irish word for deer. It's not sort of obvious what to call them, is it? And sometimes if it's not obvious, probably just leave well enough alone. But we'll keep going at it. We'll keep going. Something might jump out. And the Irish Terriers, beautiful dog and a great history. But you see, you know, anyway, you don't need me to spell it out, but it can't be a dog. I'm sorry, it just can't be a dog. Sorry about that, but thanks for your suggestions. But keep them coming in, 51551. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in the Who Done It quiz. Yeah, 2 quizzers, 3 questions, clues or no clues, and a prize. And it's a mini break at the Kingsley Hotel in Cork. This is a great prize. A 2-night stay in one of their stylish riverside rooms, dinner on one evening and breakfast each morning. And you and a guest will also be treated to luxurious Kirsten Florian Nordic Zen experience. I'm even more relaxed just saying it. That's at the spa at the Kingsley. So beautiful bedrooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa and extensive health club. And of course, it's there on the banks of the River Lee. Ideal and within walking distance to explore Cork City. Shopping, socialising, cultural attractions and everything else. TheKingsley.ie. Here is your qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon. Who's the captain of the Irish women's football team? Is it Katie McCabe or Katie Taylor? Who's the captain of the Irish women's football team? Katie McCabe and Katie or Katie Taylor. 0818715925. 0818715925. And after the break, we go down under to get Stephanie Roach's take on today's game.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, 51551 ray@rte.ie. We go down to Sydney now and to Stephanie Roach. How are you doing, Stephanie?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
We're all more than a bit disappointed up here because they played so well. It could have been something, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's disappointing. It's all too similar to what we've seen in previous games where we've played really well to frustrate the opposition in the first half. And it's just that bit of bad luck to give away the penalty, and it kind of puts you on the back foot. Then you're looking to try and see what we can do to get back into the game. I think we really pushed to try and get forward and try and get something on goal, but it was really just dependent on set pieces, and unfortunately we just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net.
We had enough set pieces though, throws, a couple of free kicks, 6 or 7 corners.
Yeah, we did, and exactly that's what we kind of looked to try and play for as well. And it's something that we've in the past been quite good at finishing. I think there's been some very good deliveries into the box, and particularly one of Katie's corner kicks into a very dangerous area. Megan Connolly the same over the opposite side. We just weren't able to get on the end of it, unfortunately. And it was just, yeah, it was very frustrating, as you say. I think they gave it socks towards the end, but unfortunately just couldn't get the ball over the line.
What was the atmosphere like in Stadium Australia?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Look, the start of the game, I think, was almost emotional for people like myself. And Claire Shine was on the radio duty for commentary as well, and we were talking afterwards. It's something that you've always waited to see happen, and to be there and witness it live was pretty special, you know. And it's just, it's unfortunate the result has gone against us, but just so much positivity around the women's game now. And I think it's a huge game against Canada coming up, and hopefully just keep behind the team, and the girls might be able to go one step further and try and get a goal and try and give us something to
And I know everyone's saying it, but it's worth saying again, that was a huge step up, you know, from 7,000 to 75,000. That alone must have made them very
nervous. It's incredible. I think that was probably... Yeah, exactly. It's totally different to anything a lot of the girls would have played on in front of before. Possibly only really Katie, who would have had big attendances with Arsenal during the Champions League. Obviously, Australia probably had a little bit more of a closer attendance in their game against France with 50,000. But it was unbelievable to see the atmosphere in the stadium. A lot of Irish fans there as well. And definitely, I think that will have played a part. But I don't think it played too much of a part. I think the girls were expecting that. They knew what to expect. And I think they held their own, as I said, throughout the game. It was the same problem we had over the last couple of games against USA and France, just not being able to put the ball in the back of the net and not take the opportunities that came our way. And that's, unfortunately, at elite level football, you have to have someone who can put the ball in the back of the net, you know.
Mm. We were down in Irishtown Stadium, two huge screens, and the Larkin Lambert families were all there, and hundreds of other people. And when Abby Larkin came on, there was a huge roar in the stadium, and she did really well. She changed the pace of the game for Ireland.
Yeah, look, Abby, I've said so many times, she's a special, special talent. I think she's a bit of a maverick. She likes to do stuff differently. She's a player who can pull something out of the bag. And I think she really did make a difference when she came on. I think herself and Lucy Quinn just brought a bit of extra energy and probably brought a little bit more control higher up the pitch in terms of getting on the ball. And I think, look, she's probably put herself in a very good position to possibly be able to shout with starting against Canada. And I was delighted to see her do that.
Mm, only 18. It's fantastic. And what about you? Because you had held out a bit of hope that you might be travelling the other side, not behind the mic, but out there playing for Ireland. So how was it? Bittersweet for you today then?
Yeah, of course. Look, I think the last couple of years since Vera's come in, I've kind of been out more than I've been in. So I think there's always going to be a little bit of hope there. But I think I had a hamstring injury in March, which kind of set me back a little bit. The hope, as I said, was always there, but I think the reality was it probably wasn't going to happen. And I'm just happy to be here to cheer on the girls. I've played with a lot of these girls for many, many years, and to see them walk out tonight was very a pride moment for me. You know, I know a lot of the girls have worked hard for that, and being part of the RTE commentary team has probably been the next best thing to playing here.
There was a guy who I used to play with, and he'd go to you sometimes if he was stuck. Are the boots in the car? Did you bring the boots with you?
I've had that question a few times, to be fair, since we got here. It's like, have you got the boots with you?
And the answer is...
Always.
You just
never know when you might get the call, right?
Yeah, you never know. I have to say, I was there in the Irishtown Stadium. I was immensely proud. And the game has come on so much in the last 5 years, hasn't it? The women's game.
Yeah, look, it's brilliant. Yeah, it is. And it's great even just to see a little bit of hype around the World Cup. Obviously, we haven't had a World Cup in Ireland since 2002. So it's brilliant to see so many people getting behind the women's game now. And look, I think this would be a huge turning point again. I think you've seen the improvement over the last few years. And just to see the attendances here at the game, Ireland mixing it with some of the best teams in the world. And I think, look, this is going to be a huge moment just in terms of even pushing forward to hopefully qualifying for more and more tournaments and getting more people just behind the Irish team and seeing just how good they can be.
Have you ever felt responsible in your years playing for a loss? I'm just thinking about poor Marissa Schiffa. She was brought off. She was the girl who caused the penalty. She pushed the Australian girl in the back. And she was in tears sitting on the bench. And I really felt for her.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Mm. Yeah, no, I think everybody did. I think you can see that even towards the end there. You can see Anya O'Gorman with the arm around her. I think Anya obviously had a few moments over the Ukraine game as well, which she'll look back on. And This is what elite football is, you know. I think she was trying her best to get back in and defend for the team, and it's just unfortunate. I think she put her hand on her back and maybe just a little bit of a clumsy challenge, and just these things happen, you know. And as I said, she's doing her best to try and just stop them getting in on goal, and unfortunately it's caused a little bit of a collision, and the penalty was given. But look, I think she just needs to get the head down and go again, because these things happen in football, as I said, and it was just an unfortunate moment for her.
Yeah, so talking about going again now, so it's Canada next Wednesday. They are ranked higher than Australia, Olympic champions. So what is Vera Pauw saying to the team in the dressing room after today's game?
Look, I think you've got to take some sort of pluses from the way they did respond. So I think for me, the concern was always that if we went down a goal, how do we get back into the game? And I think they did show promise in terms of trying to push forward and looking to get on the ball and looking to try and create, I suppose, set pieces and create chances for ourselves. But I think they showed good character. I think they showed a bit of resilience and a little bit of bite back. You know, I think that was important for them to do that And look, I think they didn't do too badly today, you know. It always sounds crazy because they lost the game, but I think, look, they've held their own. Just unfortunately a penalty has gone against us, and I think they just need to go into the game with a similar attitude, try to frustrate Canada and see can we get something on the break. I think the only thing I would ask for is to have that little bit of better quality in the final third when we do get the opportunities, you know, because I think, as I said before, finding someone who could put the ball in the back of the net. And I was kind of disappointed to not see Emma Barra come on tonight, I have to say. I thought, particularly towards the end there, where we were kind of putting pressure on the defence, Amber in the middle maybe would have been a goal threat, you know, and we didn't see her come in. So I think there's a lot of positives to take from tonight, but I think we do need a goal scorer up there, that someone's going to put the ball in the back of the net.
So what you're saying is Abby Larkin starts against Canada, and Amber Barrett comes on then as an impact sub sometime in the second half, scores a goal, and we win 1-0.
And I think Caruso, in fairness, she's yeah, that'll do me. I'll take that all day. Yeah.
So it's late there in Sydney. Thanks so much for staying up for us, Sydney Roach, and we talk again before this tournament's over. Thanks, Stephanie.
No problem, Ray. Thank you.
Yeah, and she heard what I didn't hear, but Grace, the producer, heard it because we recorded that just before we went on air today, that I called her Sydney Roach. Yes, Sydney. And Stephanie heard that too, and then she came back on and...
You just called me Sydney Roach, Ray.
You'll always be Sydney to me. No,
that's a new one on me, I have to say.
You could change your whole name now. You could be, by the end of this, you could be Sydney Zambra. There you go, whole new name, right. I'm going to say thanks very much, Stephanie Roach, and we'll talk again before the end of the tournament. Thanks, Stephanie.
No problem, Ray. Thank you.
The brain, the human brain, Sydney Roach. Anyway, we will be talking to Stephanie before the end of the tournament again. Love chatting to her. Now, suggested names for our team, the women's team. Call the team the Shamrocks. Hello from Gainesville, Florida. That's Bobby Hendricks. Great name. The Green Giants, as somebody else. The Gráinne Whales, after the feisty Irish pirate queen. Gráinne Whale is the Irish for bald. I don't know. The Powwows. Well, I suppose Vera Powell isn't always going to be the manager, so you'd have to change it then when somebody else takes over. The GGs, Girls in Green, again. No, yeah, I see what you're doing. It's clever, but no. The Viralettes. The Viralettes, again, when Vera leaves. We're getting there. We're getting there. I've been calling the ladies' team the Sheilas. It's an Irish name, and no doubt the Australians know it means women or girls. Best wishes. And best of luck to the team. That's Geraldine, the Sheilas. Right, okay. And on Taylor Swift, my daughter got two standing tickets, but then on a different session got two pitch tickets. She wants to hand back the standing tickets, but there seems to be no way to do this. Pat, any advice there? 51551, ray@rte.ie. Yeah, just a reminder, we're looking for two people to come on the quiz after 4 o'clock. A great prize, two nights stay for two people in the Kingsley down in Cork. And your qualifying question today is, who's the captain of the Irish women's football team? Katie McCabe or Katie Taylor? Katie McCabe or Katie Taylor, the captain of the Irish women's football team? 0818 715 925, 0818 715 925.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Fair City favourites Brian Murray and Una Crawford O'Brien join me in studio, along with Matthew Malone, who has recently come on board with the soap in a new endeavour, which is going to change Brian's life. And we're going to find out about it now. Brian, you're welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Una, you're welcome. Good
thanks
to see
very
you
much.
Again. And Matthew.
Hiya, thanks,
welcome
Ray.
Welcome on to the show. Brian and Una, you were on last September talking to us about Brian's diagnosis with Alzheimer's. And Brian had been diagnosed a good bit before that.
But yes.
Yes.
In 2019.
Right.
So, but he only came out as such about it last year.
Right. And you had, being his partner, you had noticed things were going awry.
Yes. Yeah. We were doing a play, Halcyon Days, and I found that Brian couldn't learn the lines. And that was the problem. And it became a huge issue because COVID happened. The play was cancelled. We had done it. The play was cancelled. We were to tour the country with it. And when we went back to do the tour, Brian's memory was completely and utterly gone. He couldn't learn the lines at all. So that's when it all kind of...
And since you know, you came on and you did a number of print interviews as well. What's the reaction been like?
Huge. People come up to us in the street. We've done some work for the Alzheimer's Society. Everyone is terribly supportive. It was a great thing to have done. And it made life easier for both of us.
Yeah, because we weren't hiding it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And very often people hear the word Alzheimer's and just see the disease. They don't see the person, but the person is still very much there, very much in the moment, which he is. You know, he still has all the emotions that he would have beforehand.
All the emotions.
So it's good.
Yeah, you're still very much Brian Murray.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, I intend to stay like that for quite a while. But, you know, getting Alzheimer's and all that kind of stuff, it was a shock. It came very, very slowly before people started to know about things, because I started to notice that my memory was kind of going out the window. I can't remember what I did yesterday, sort of thing. And that was a little bit, that was a bit worrying. But then it kind of went on and on. And then the Alzheimer's thing came in.
And can you tell me if you were covering it up even in front of Una? Because you're a very good actor. You see what I'm saying?
Never lose you.
Were you acting like a man who didn't have Alzheimer's? Was that part of your approach?
I don't believe I was ever in that particular one.
No.
What I really believe is that I was saying, this too will pass. And that's something that I've always had within me, you know, reading books and all that kind of stuff. Don't get lost in the middle of yourself.
Right.
Is a great line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be there and be ready for whatever comes and go for it.
And he didn't put it down to Alzheimer's. He put it down to age.
Mm.
Yeah. But it was very much more than age.
Yeah.
And I started to get used to it, because I would open the script and it would take me 4 minutes to do a page, and I close it up and I know it all. And then I noticed that wasn't any more the case.
Because you were very good at it.
Very good. Lines, yeah. Very good at all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
It was never any problem for me at all. And
Which probably made it tougher when it happened.
Yeah, it did. It was kind of, what's going on?
He became very frustrated by it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's the word, actually, dying. Yeah. Yeah.
An old song, Half Forgotten, which is played in the Abbey, which is about a man with Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
Was it written specially for you?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
Dee Kinahan, when she heard that Brian had to pull out of Halcyon Days, which she had also written, she turned around and said, I'm going to write a play for him. And I thought, she hasn't heard what I said. He can't learn a line. So she wrote a play for him.
Right.
And the idea was that it would be performed, he would read it, and there was going to be a younger man playing him. And so we met Matthew.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you read from a script.
Yes.
And Matthew acted out.
No, that was the initial.
That was the initial idea.
Yes.
Okay, right.
It all became much more complex, actually.
Yes, yes.
And a lot more sophisticated. So I am an actor as well, and I had done a play with Deirdre a couple of years previous, and she called me, it's about 18 months ago now, and she told me about Brian and Brian's situation and Una and what had happened on the tour. And she said, I have an idea for a play. I'm writing it for Brian, and we're going to integrate his needs into everything. I'm hoping to get the Abbey on board and this. And she said something very kind. She goes, and I need someone I can trust to be there with them. And I trust you, which was, you know, and it was clear as an honour to be asked to do it. Okay. And then we ended up going to the Abbey, and that's what we were doing up until early
May.
And
my God, could you trust him?
Okay, so initially it was one way and it turned out a different way. And it all started on Fair City. Prior to that,
yes,
with Aoife, who's a floor manager.
Yes,
yes, yes.
We were out. We were doing EFP. We were doing the Christmas episode, which was last November. We filmed it, and Brian just couldn't get his head around it at all. We had already done the interviews, so people knew he had Alzheimer's. So Aoife came up to me and very quietly said, very discreetly, "Would Brian mind if we offered him an earpiece?" And I said, no, he would be delighted. He would jump at the chance.
Yes.
So, so she did. Yeah. And she was brilliant. She fed him the lines, and the rest, as they say, is history. And that, and then Louise Lowe then took it on board when she was directing the play. And now here we are back in Fair City. Mm-hmm. And
Matthew is feeding now. Brian his lines.
Yes.
Yes. So we discovered...
My alter ego.
Alter ego.
Does anybody know, before we get into the nitty gritty of it, does anybody know if this has been done elsewhere ever?
Not as a play. It was, as far as we know, isn't that right, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, earpieces you hear, they're used in the industry sometimes with... an older actor or sometimes a star actor that doesn't do that much theatre. You know, you hear it happens.
Right, okay.
But I don't think it hadn't been integrated into a theatre piece with someone that's actually living with a diagnosed disease.
Okay.
And I think that was where the rare part of what we did is that from the get-go, we were led by Brian's needs and we'd be integrating from there.
So it was a world first.
A world first. So an old song, half forgotten. It flipped on its head and you then started feeding Brian the lines and he read them. Is that the way
so it at the time in Old Song, we were both on stage together and we actually played basically the same character but at different times in their life. And we had another actor part of our team, Dara Feely, and Dara was backstage and he was the one reading Brian his lines.
And then complicated, Brian.
Exactly. It was complicated. Yeah. And what also suits you, Brian, is, you know, not working a full day and not, you don't want to get exhausted because you're competing with more than we are day to day. So Dara would sometimes rehearse the play with me in Brian's stead so we can figure out some blocking, kind of what we call staging. We'd figure out what would work and then Brian would come in and we would make an offering to Brian and we would test things with Dara in Brian's ear, as was how we say. Dara was always in his ear and we would test things each day because Brian, of course, wouldn't be able to retain what we had done the day previous, but we would be able to learn from what worked with Brian and what you would suggest to us and what worked for you in the character. And we would just take those notes and we'd apply.
And every day was new. You have to remember that. Every day was new because he didn't remember what he did yesterday. And every performance was new. He went on stage every night for the first night.
And do you know that, Brian? Do you know? You know that?
Oh, yeah. I remember when it started to feel something was going on, something strange going on. And then it went more and more. And I kept it to myself because I thought you must be crazy, and then it kind of erupted inside, and it's like there's something seriously not right here.
So you get up every day, and it's a brand new day. There's no yesterday.
Yeah, there are lots of yesterdays before all.
No, I know. There's distant yesterdays. But there isn't a Wednesday, as in, like we're in Thursday now, so there isn't a Wednesday.
There's an inclination starting that the Wednesday is there. Do you know what I mean? Now, it's got a lot better.
Has it?
Yeah.
I remember there was a line in the play, Brian, that you used to like, and it was a tough enough speech that you had to do, but there was the line, yesterday is a fog. And I remember you would always go, oh, that's it. It's it is there, but it's a fog.
So Bob is back on our screens in August.
Yes.
And Matthew is in your ear.
Yes.
Right. So that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Well, it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's great.
But it calls on Brian, you as an actor. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have time to be at home rehearsing your lines in front of the mirror.
No.
And I know that yourself and Una used to rehearse your lines at home.
Yes.
So now you're on the day.
Yeah.
You're getting in your ear what
Well,
you'll
read the script anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you won't have said it to anyone except yourself.
Right.
And then you go in and it's in your ear. And that's like it used to be in the old days before all this happened, that two of us are standing on stage, you know, answering and then questioning back again or whatever.
Right.
So that's the way that it's gone around, thank goodness.
Yeah. Mm. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, for people who are at the beginning of it or in the middle of it or not, it's not the end of the world.
No.
You know, it feels like it on occasions. Believe me, I know that and remember that. But it's not really the end of the world. These things come and they go.
You were at a memory lounge this morning.
Yes.
With other people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yes.
And how was that for you? How?
Well, I've been there a few times now, and it's just great having conversations with people who are in the same situation and sitting around the table and having a conversation about so and so, so and so.
Do you remember the lady who runs it? What's her name?
Yes, the lady with the black hair. Yes.
Adele Carey.
Adele Carey.
And she runs it. She runs it once a month. Yeah. He had done a course with her and she runs it. And he meets like literally minded people.
Yes.
Mm. And they play word games, they play brain activities, do a bit of singing.
Yeah.
You were singing, what were you singing this morning?
Oh,
poker,
but you can't say what.
No, no, don't say.
Make the joke from radio.
You can't
make the joke.
I told you.
I'd like to say it, but you can't.
As kids, we learned that in school, as a lot of people did, and we used to replace the chorus with something else.
People will know. It might have been the same one.
Yeah. Because that's good. It's good being bold. Being a little bit bold.
Well, I suppose it's a good example of, you know, song and acting and dancing.
Yeah.
Your facility for these things, thankfully, don't go away with Alzheimer's, as we've learnt. And I'm in Brian's ear, but I'm just one piece of the puzzle. So, you know, there's Una's often on set with Brian. There are other actors on set with Brian. Our director is aware. Everyone's aware. So there's lots of small things you can do that just make it easier for you to act.
Absolutely.
Because Brian's acting hasn't actually gone anywhere.
No.
Your ability to act, thankfully, is alive and well.
And Matthew, you introduce yourself every morning to Brian.
I do, yeah. So I don't have my name tag on now. But what's nice over the last year, Brian, is I feel we do know each other, but you don't always know my name.
He knows who you are now. Yeah.
But today, you know, Brian's favourite joke, when I said, "Hi, Brian," Brian goes, "Hi, I've never met you before. How are you?" In your kind of eye-rolly way, because you're like, "Oh, isn't it gas? I don't usually remember things." You know, you're the first, like, Brian is the first one to make a light joke about something that is very tough.
Yeah. Oh, God,
but what's nice is we know each other as actors.
Yeah. But like, he asks me constantly what my name is.
That was my next question.
No. He knows exactly what my name is. So I tell him a different name all the time. Yeah. And I realise sometimes we say that in inappropriate situations. Probably people think I'm the one that's not
really. She's the one with the Alzheimer's.
So both of you have a bit of dark humour. Yeah. It's a coping mechanism.
It is, yeah. 100%.
But how are you, Una? Because, you know, it's a big thing for you as well.
I'll be honest and say I get very stressed. And I wouldn't normally be a stressed person, but I do get stressed. And I get tired because it's constant. It's constant. Mm. And that's the hard part of it.
Yeah.
And I also have to remember for the two of us. Mm. And I'm very bad at names at the best of times. And he will ask me a dozen times, what's his name?
And how has the house changed because of Brian's diagnosis? Like, have you got labels and clocks?
We do. And we have a whiteboard in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We have a blackboard in the kitchen. We have calendars all around the place. He has a clock that I might have told you about last year, which tells him the day, the date, the hour, the year, which is brilliant. And that's beside his bed and it travels with us everywhere.
Mm.
Anywhere we go. Mm. And that's the first thing he sees when he wakes up. So he knows it's Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever.
And do you have chats about old times? Do you know, Brian, do you talk about the Irish or M?
Oh, we would, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're way off on the island. Do you know what I mean? All of those things that are large.
Yeah.
It's the things that happened during the last 4 weeks. Mm. They're the ones that go out of your head for some reason.
Oh, no, he has no problem with long-term memory.
Right.
Yeah.
We were chatting about plays you were doing only the other day. Yeah. Like, Brian, you have a brilliant recall of all the stuff you did at the Abbey and the National and Brookside, all those things. Yeah. They're really alive and well, aren't
Trevor
they?
Jordash.
Yes. Trevor Jordash.
Yeah. That patio. He was a gentleman, wasn't he?
Nasty character. When they're drawn up the list of the soap's top nasty characters, he's always in it.
I had to have, I might have told you this before, I had to have a police escort in and out after the first 2 weeks of it, going to the studio and coming out. I was told there's people out there who actually phoned up and said, the next time I see that fucking bastard, he brought my girlfriend back into the situation she was in.
Triggered. So-and-so. Before we knew the word triggered.
Yeah.
And of course, it was the first time that domestic abuse had been portrayed in a soap, which was a very brave thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you must have wrestled with the whole thing yourself because
he loves the challenge though.
Yeah. Because compared to the Irish RM, it was quite different.
Listen, Flurry Knox is a big big different man to Trevor Jordash, believe me.
So you've been forced, this is what I love, you've been forced to live in the now, Brian. You're living in the now. I can't believe how well you look. You know, we were walking back from somewhere the other day and we met the two of you. You were out, you were in the middle of rehearsals and you're just out for a break. And what struck me first was how well you looked.
Yeah. I live with a very amazing woman.
Ah.
Say that into the mic, please.
Yeah, say that clear now.
The mic is not working, actually, unfortunately.
Ryan, ladies and gentlemen.
But you see, he has no worries.
Yes.
He doesn't remember to worry. So, like, no wonder he looks so well.
But do you look to the future? Do you look to the future, Brian?
Gosh, yeah.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah.
No, not really.
We live in the day. We live in the moment.
Oh, but listen, we're living in the future. We're going to Lanzarote in a couple of months.
Don't tell them, people. Poor actors.
Funny how you remember Lanzarote.
Yeah, isn't it?
They even spell it, darling. It's with a Z and all in it.
This is a fascinating thing, Una, because we had Matthew Modine on last week, you know, from Birdie and Full Metal Jacket, and he went for the presidency of the Actors Union in America, and they'd just gone on strike that day.
Yes.
You know, and one of the things they're fighting against is, you know, AI and getting it written into their contracts that people can't use their voices or their images and stuff like that. But that's a real concern now for actors.
Mm. Yes.
You know, so Brian, for example, I don't know if you'd be interested in doing it because you've just this wonderful voice. You know.
Well, probably there's enough out there that they could pick up if they wanted to.
Yeah, but they need your permission. That's the thing.
Of course,
they need
of
your
course.
Permission. Yes, yeah. But the world is changing rapidly.
And it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
there's no keeping the same thing going. Otherwise, the planet wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have reached where we've reached. So we have to take all that.
Without change, there's no progression.
Well, that's more or less what I was trying to say. If I had the brains to say that.
No, the only reason I know that, Brian, is because I saw the quote. I don't know who said it. And I printed it off on A4 and I have it up in my office. Right. Without change, there's no progression.
Yeah.
There you go. So
yeah, that's great. True.
So the big progression here on the set of Fair City, Matthew is feeding Brian Murray his lines and Bob will be back on the screens in August.
And we just have to say a big thank you to everybody in Fair City for what they do and how they help us and Brian and, you know, how they cope and the fact that they are willing to do something like this.
It was almost emotional when it came to be that people started to know what was going on in my head, and the support that I got from it was quite amazing. Mm. And people come in and said, don't worry, but we can handle this.
Yeah.
And that gives you some kind of a... Isn't life great? Wouldn't it be great if it was always like that? But it was out of a bad thing, a good thing can come along as well.
And it's made people realise that you don't just have to see it and go down one road. Mm. There are plenty of avenues you can take.
Yeah. It's a workaround, yeah. A glorious one. Matthew, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Ray.
Una, thank you. And Brian, thank great you. To see you. And thanks for coming in. Thank you
glad
very
to
much.
Be here. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gramaga Kieran, thank you very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. My daughter has autism spectrum disorder, ASD. She's 13. She loves football. She's part of Kyle Dove Football for All. We sent her in April 2022 to an FAI football camp. And who was her coach? None other than Abby Larkin. My daughter was in with typical children and Abby was so good to her and encouraging, a great person, kind and caring, even at such a young age. Wishing her and the girls all the best in the World Cup. And suggestions still coming in. My suggestion for the nickname of the Irish team is the Green Emeralds. No, they're saying there's an eye roll out there. The Green Goddesses. The Green Goddesses, Richard and Cork. No. And I'm Brian and Una. Please tell Brian that his colleague from Blood Brothers, Simon Buttress, sends his love, says he had a wonderful time performing as his brother. There you go, Brian Murray with us there. Now, we have two people standing by to take part in our Who Done It quiz. And there is a prize, and the prize is a two-night stay for two people at the Kingsley Hotel in Cork. And you also get Kirsten Florian Nordic Zen experience at the spa. Which sounds nice. Kingsley.ie, perfect for exploring everything that Cork City has to offer, the shopping, the socialising, the cultural attractions, all within a few steps from the Kingsley. Hello, Christine McKenna in Monaghan.
Hello, Ray.
How are things in Monaghan?
Things are dull and dreary here. We're a bit depressed with the result of the match.
Yeah. Do you know what it is, though? I think we should be very proud of them.
Sincerely.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
proud. 75,000 yeah. people in attendance. Great show for the women.
Yes, and they were thereabouts right up until the end. They could have yes. snatched a goal near the end there. So I think we should be only proud of them.
Yes. I was looking forward to seeing more, but we had Monaghan as well doing so well this week and last
yes,
week.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, you got to the semi-final, which is great.
Oh, we did terrific, yeah. yeah.
For how many, what's the population of Monaghan? It's like, it's a small enough county population-wise, isn't it?
55,000.
Yeah, yeah. That. Yeah, 55,000, yeah. Everybody
was in Dublin. I was optimistic I was going to go to the final.
Oh, were you right?
I was too optimistic.
But the rest of them, everybody else was in Dublin, were they? Last one, turn off the lights sort of thing, yeah. What are you up to today, Christine?
I took a break. I was going to mow my lawn, so I took a drive. My daughter's going to a wedding, so I was coming over to see her. But I caught your show, and I'm sitting here now hoping to win the next 2 days.
Right, okay. You can't cut the grass when it's wet. You can, but it's
exactly.
messy. Yeah.
Exactly.
It clogs up the lawnmower.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have to wait till it dries off then. But that's your excuse and that you're sticking to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I have to wait till it stops raining sometimes.
Aoife Concannon is travelling from Galway to Sligo and she's on the other line. Hello, Aoife.
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good. That's Christine on the other line there, Aoife.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
Fine, Aoife. Hello.
You're Galway to Sligo. Are you on holidays or what are you up to?
We're still on holiday. We're in Connemara and then we're in Galway just visiting my dad for a few days. And now we're going up to Sligo to see some friends. But we're currently in Ballandine, which I haven't been to before. Just pulled in to do the quiz.
Isn't that lovely that you're in a place you've never been before?
It is lovely, yeah.
What do you see?
I'm not even sure.
What do you see around you there?
I see a Texaco petrol station with a Supermax. Nothing too exciting so far.
What's Ballandine famous for? A Texaco and a supermarket, right?
That's I'm sure there's much more to it, but I might see it afterwards.
So when you say we, who's we?
My partner Steve and our son Dara, and the dog Dolly, who's in the boot.
Right,
she's been very quiet at the moment.
What age is Dara?
Dara's a year and a half.
Right, and how is he with all the travelling?
He's currently having a walk around the car park, just to have a little breather.
Right.
But no, he's grand. I mean, we haven't been going more than 2 or 3 hours in the car at any point. So
he's
grand at that. He usually sleeps the first.
And have you got any weather at all? Good weather?
Bits of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that sort of all weather in one day sort of experience. So we were in a mobile home actually in Connemara, so there was a few days when it was fairly miserable. But then other days and it's absolutely glorious. So
yeah, I think you have to, you know, when you're on holidays in Ireland, you have to accept that the weather is a bonus, really. And if you go with that attitude, then it's, you know, it's a good way of going,
as
opposed to hoping for a full week or 2 weeks of sunny weather. Okay, so it's Christine versus Aoife. Three questions each. I give you the category, and then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, it's more difficult. You get 2 points for a correct answer there, and whoever has the most points is the winner. But if it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both, Christine and Aoife. Here we go. Okay, Christine. Music starts us off today. Would you like a clue or not?
No.
No clue. Okay. For two, who is this?
With a torch in your pocket and the wind at your heels, you climbed on the ladder and you know how it feels to get
to
the
moon. I'm trying to think. Oh, I can't think of his name. You saw the hole of the moon. Just give me a minute. I'm trying to think because my friend used to love him. Oh my god. Oh, I'm out. Sorry.
No. Nothing there, sorry. No.
I just got a brain moment.
Yeah, I know. It's the radio and the brain and all sorts of things. Yeah. So it is the Hole of the Moon, but we're looking for the Water Boys. It's the Water Boys. Yes, yeah. Okay, early days. Don't panic quite yet. Aoife. Music for you too. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll try it without the clue.
Okay, for two, who is this?
Oh,
Who do you think that is?
Is it the Pretenders?
No!
No, it's not a Scottish band, isn't it?
Yeah. The Proclaimers, you see?
Proclaimers!
Yeah. Pretenders, Proclaimers, yeah. Okay. They sounded like very different bands, of course, but their names sounded like... Okay.
Yeah. No, I was thinking it's like, it doesn't sound like Pretenders, but yes, it's
yeah,
in my
yeah,
head.
Proclaimers, I'm going to be 500 miles. Okay, even start. We're on to our second question. TV detectives. Christine, TV detectives. Do you want a clue or not?
Not.
No clue. Okay. So we're looking for the name of the detective, not the name of the actor. For 2 points, which TV detective is this?
Well, sir, I want to thank you very much for your time. Yeah, I don't want to forget my cigar.
Columbo.
Yes, in there, Flynn. Well done. He's my favourite of all time. He's my favourite TV detective. Something's bothering me, man. 2 points for you. Well done. Columbo. And if you like Columbo, you love Poker Face on Sky. It's a sort of a... It's a reimagining of Columbo with a woman in the lead role. Can't remember her name. Now, 2 points. Well done. Aoife.
Yes.
TV detectives. What do you think?
I'll go without the clue again.
Okay.
Sure.
And again, it's the name of the character and not the name of the actor. For 2 points, who is this?
Last night when I brought you here, it was dark in the den. I left you when the doorbell rang and you came into the dark room. I had only taken a few steps when the den lights flashed on. It didn't occur to me until today that you said you'd never been in this room before. But it took you less than 5 seconds to find an obscure light switch in the dark.
Who's that?
Oh, I know her real name. I'm just trying to think of it now. Oh.
No.
I just have it too late, so damn it.
Yeah, Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher,
Murder, She Wrote. Angela Lansbury was the name you had in your head.
Yeah, I know,
Okay, now, it's 2 to you, Christine. Aoife has yet to score, which means, Christine, if you get anything from this final question, you are today's winner. It's Irish authors. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll take a clue.
Of course you will, yes. Her surname is what you use to open locks and doors. For 1 point... Name this Irish author.
I always felt like such an oddball. And just by writing about people who have those characteristics, like loads of people have said, oh, that's me, and that's me, and that's me. I love stories. Like I always did. Like it was my first way of escaping the world. Like from very young.
Marion Keyes?
Say again.
Marion Keyes?
It is Marion Keyes. It is Marion Keyes. Yes, it is. Marion Keyes.
God.
Yeah. Aoife. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Now, listen, because you're there with Stephen, and they'll kill me upstairs, but I'm going to do this anyway. We're going to give you 2 Ray D'Arcy Keep Cups for your travels. Yeah, and listen, drive carefully and enjoy the rest of your holiday in Sligo.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye, Aoife. Okay. Bye.
All the best. That's Aoife
there. Bye. Bye. Aoife and Ballandine on our way to Sligo. Christine, well done.
Thank you. I'm so happy. Thanks so much.
Yes, you're off to the Kingsley in Cork, which is a good old trip from Monaghan. You can go to thekingsley.ie to see what's in store for you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Well done. Thanks. See you, Christine. Out. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye-bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
What do we see? The Glossinis. That's not bad. Gloss for green. And then Collini, so it's an amalgamation of the two words. Glossini, the Glossinis, the Glossinis. That's a nice ring. Yeah. The name I would choose, says Jimmy, is the Irish Gaels. I like it, the Irish Gaels, girls, the Irish Gaels. Name for our ladies' soccer team, simply the Green Queens. That has a nice ring to it as well, Mark. And how about calling the Irish team Mana Mana? With an optional follow-on of Do doobie doobie. Mana Mana. The Mana Manas. The Mana Mana. Yeah. Nah. I don't know. Okay. I think we'll have to revisit this tomorrow. Now, the Battle of Ballinamuck Commemoration Committee are looking for 50 pikemen. Yeah, 50 pikemen. And just to get you in the mood, we need some battle music. Yes, we do. Cormac Begley. Ah, Cormac. The amazingly talented Cormac Begley. Rolling in the Barrel, O'Neill's March, and Tralee. That's brilliant, isn't it? Now, the search is on for not 50, but 150 pikemen to help reenact the 1798 Battle of Ballinamuck, just north of Longford, later on this year. I'm joined now on the line by Battle Commemoration Committee Chairman Mark Cunningham. How are you doing, Mark?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
That's a great tune, isn't it?
It is indeed. Lovely.
Yeah. Ballinamuck, is that the Bolia, the town of the pigs?
That's it, exactly. Right. Yes, in North Longford.
And how did it get its name?
Well, it got its name from the Battle of Ballinamuck originally,
yeah.
Which took place in 1798. And if you want, I can expand on that slightly to your listeners.
Yeah, so to give us the context, the historical context of it.
Well, firstly, anyway, back in 1798, Ireland was under British rule. And at that time, there was revolutions right across Europe. And France was on having their own revolution. Mm. And Wolfe Tone, on behalf of the United Irishmen, sought assistance from France. And I suppose France seen this as an opportunity to align themselves with the Irish rebels and try and force Britain out of Ireland and deal them a humiliating blow. So as a result, France sent a number of battle-laden ships to Ireland. Some of them landed in the south coast. Some of them landed in the west coast. General Humbert landed in Killala in County Mayo with 1,100 soldiers. He was met then with about 1,600 pikemen, and they moved southwest in the direction of Castlebar, took over Castlebar, what was known as the Races of Castlebar. So they were beginning to build momentum then against the British. Mm. They started to move eastward then towards Meath and Dublin, and went down through Sligo, and on the day of the September 7th, 1798, they camped in what's known as the Campfield in Clune in County Leitrim, where they stayed overnight. It was General Humbert's intention then to march south through Ballinamuck into Granard the following day, September 8th, to meet with 3,000 pikemen in Granard. But unfortunately, his plans were scuppered and he was intercepted in Ballinamuck by Lord Cornwallis and General Lake with a combined force of 26,000 armed forces compared to his 2,600 French soldiers and pikemen. So they'd done their best. They fought for a couple of hours on Kiltacreeva Hill. But unfortunately, they were vastly outnumbered. General Humbert realised this and he surrendered. The French soldiers were taken as prisoners of war. Traded for other prisoners of war and subsequently sent back to France with hardly any casualties at all. But the pikemen weren't so lucky. There was no mercy shown on them. They were slaughtered on the hills and fields around Ballinamuck, and in fact there's 500 of them buried in a mass grave known as Crappy's Grave on Shamulla Hill. So
So it wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good day for the Irish, really.
It wasn't
really,
a good day at all. And then whoever did escape then was rounded up in the subsequent days that followed, and they were marched to a place called Bully's Acre in Bannanlea, where they were tried and hanged. There wasn't much of a trial. They were just hung. And I suppose the Battle of Ballinamuck then was the last battle of the 1798 rebellion in Ireland. And
it was a flop. It was a flop, wasn't it, for the United Irishmen?
It was indeed. Yeah. So these were our ancestors. It's an emotional time for the people of North Longford and Ballinamuck, and this only comes around every 25 years that we have a commemoration. So we're having our commemoration weekend on the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
So it's 225 years this
225,
September.
Yeah.
So you only do it every 25 years.
Exactly, yes.
All right, okay. So, well, that's I suppose that makes it interesting and people have an appetite for it as opposed to doing something every year.
Exactly, yes.
So do you always do a reenactment, Mark?
Well, the last one we did, in 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So there was a large reenactment then. So we're having the reenactment again this year on the Saturday the 9th of September, which will involve about 200 reenactors. 60 of which are French and British reenactors,
right.
One from all over Ireland and France.
And your guest of honour is
the
your guest of honour is the French ambassador.
He is indeed. Yeah, he's coming. Yes.
Yeah. So now you want 150 pikemen.
Exactly. Yeah, we're looking for 150 pikemen. They must be over 16 years of age.
Right.
And they can also be pike ladies. Very important. to get the ladies would be involved as well. So if ladies want to dress as pikemen, they can do so. The uniform is on our website. They can also dress in the uniform of the day. And there will be training events coming up on various days throughout August before the reenactment in September.
OK, now, what is required of these 150 volunteers?
Well, as I say, you must be over 16
years
of age.
Yes, we know, yes, yeah.
You must have the uniform and you must do the training, and after that, hold on,
where did they get the uniform?
Well, they can buy it themselves. It's basically the pikeman uniform is very simple. It's a white shirt or a grey-white shirt or off-white shirt, baggy, brown trousers, black trousers, tan shoes or boots. So it's and also a waistcoat if they want, but right. No flat caps.
Why are you so strict on the flat caps?
Well, flat caps weren't available back in 1798. So that's why.
OK. So you provide the pikes?
We provide the pikes. We have the pikes. All we need now is the pike men and pike women.
Right. OK. And then training is provided as well?
Exactly.
Well, what does that amount to?
Well, there'll be training on at least two Saturdays beforehand and also the morning of the reenactment. And we have coordinators in place that will be looking after the training. So everybody will have to turn up, of course, in their uniforms, etc. We'll provide the pikes and then our coordinators will take it from there.
Have you been involved in the reenactment before, Mark?
No.
No. OK. I've only seen them on television as part of documentaries. They look like good crack. And I know it's commemoration of a dark day in our history. But the people who get involved in these things seem to have a bit of fun.
They certainly do, yeah. I think there's the 60, the 50 or so reenactors is coming from all over Ireland. They have their own clubs, etc., that they'd be involved in various types of reenactment. We have a French reenactors is also coming as well, and it will be a very visual display. We have the 200 reenactors. Our march starts first of all in Keildra Lake in Leitrim on that morning. It will march south across the county boundary between Longford and Leitrim and come up Kiltacreba Hill on the northern side and then descend downwards into the battlefield where the French and reenactors and pikemen will be met by the British soldiers. So it's a perfect site for the reenactment. It's elevated. There'll be large areas for people to gather and view the spectacle. So it'll be a very visual spectacle. It'll be a very memorable occasion for children, etc., for the next time that there is commemoration.
And Mark, how do people contact? Where is the? Is there a Facebook page or what? Is there a website or what?
Yes, we have a Facebook page and we also have a website called www.battleofballinmuck.ie. The full program of events is a 4-day event. The full program of events is on the website. The costumes are on the website and our email address is on the website. So if anyone wants to contact us, be a pikeman or a pikewoman, they're more than welcome.
Right, Battle of Ballinamuck Commemoration Committee Chairman Mark Cunningham. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Mind yourself.
Hope
good
to
luck
see you
with
in
it
Ballinamuck.
All. Yeah, well, you probably won't. You probably won't. Okay. We mentioned earlier on that Abby Larkin, who was celebrated by her community earlier on today down at the Irish Town Stadium, once interviewed or at least asked Roy Keane a question, and they found that. It's Abby's. It looks like she's about 12, 13, Roy Keane's given a press conference and Abby, who now plays for Ireland, is there and asks Roy Keane a question. This is only 10 seconds long, so listen up. I will only play this once.
When I'm older, I want to be a professional footballer. Is there any advice you can give me?
Be on time for training. Listen to your coaches.
That's it. Be on time for training and listen to your coaches. You may have spotted the song they're playing to promo Ireland's participation in the Women's World Cup. We thought we'd give that a spin before we leave you today. Sweet Lemon Day and Turn the World. Reaction into Cormac Begley there. I'm dancing in the office again, listening to Cormac. Cheers. And somebody else says, Angela from Cork. The Mam with Cormac's music, the play Mam. Oh yeah, with Cormac's music was the best thing I've ever seen in theatre, dance. His music is visceral. You can't touch him, says Angela from Cork. That's it from us. Cormac, another Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.